You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank God we have the Word of God. We are blessed to know that we have the more sure Word of God. We have God's Word, that we have God's Word. We're going to see that tonight, too. Thank God we can know that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God, so our faith is based on God's integrity and not that of any man. Father, we just do thank you for the privilege that we can call you our Father. It was your will to send Yeshua. You have let us know we have absolute pure truth, the means by which we can prove what the truth is. And we thank you for promising that if we would just acknowledge you as the source of all true wisdom and ask you for wisdom, that you would give it liberally. And we thank you for that great promise. But Father, there are things that each of us need to be reproved about. And we do want to receive the reproof of your Holy Spirit quickening, making your word alive and applying to me personally and applying to all of us personally. And we ask for your grace, Father, to turn at that reproof that we might have understanding, because we need understanding and it's not going to come any other way. Thank you for letting us know that, Father. And we just bless you, Father. We just thank you, praise you. There's nothing else that seems to make sense sometimes but to thank you for your love in sending Yeshua, your Son, our King. We bless you, Father, in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's great to have a good amen corner. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is a strange phenomenon going on in these last days. There are people running around wanting to question the apostleship of Paul. Don't cut them any slack, brethren. Immediately, somebody wants to tell you to question Paul's authority as an apostle, or that any of Paul's writings that we have in that KJV Holy Bible, the King Jesus Version. Anybody that wants to challenge Paul's authority as an apostle, or the integrity of the words that he was given to record for us by the Holy Spirit, you immediately say, brother, the duty of love to you is to give you your first admonition as an heretic. And if the response is any response other than meekness, quickly give them the second admonition as a heretic and reject them. That's your duty as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your duty of love to them. That's biblical discipline. We see it here again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Such people who would question Paul's apostolic authority or the fact that he was given for us to be able to receive the very word of God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They do not know the will of God. They are heretic, and they need to be rebuked and reproved. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. How is it that people can deny the biblical doctrine of the Trinity when we see hundreds and thousands of verses that speak of God in the same verse with more than one person? How can they do that? It's an Antichrist demon religious spirit. And this, which Paul was saying he faithfully did, is something that we need to do, to be praying for one another. One of the most pleasing things to God is when we come before him and intercede for our brothers and sisters, for our great high priest, our king, our Lord, our God, sits at the Father's right hand, ever living to intercede for us. So you know this is the right thing. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. He got a pure conscience from Jesus. Hallelujah. He had to get knocked off his high horse, but that's where he got that pure conscience. Have you got a pure conscience? You see, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is not for a license to sin or an excuse of our sins, but it is for this purifying of the conscience, that we might have a conscience that is sharper and more alive than it ever was, and a determination to serve God from the heart now rather than from the mind. From the heart. To serve God from the heart, from the spirit, not just the soul, but from the spirit, because of a pure conscience. And you can only get that from Yeshua. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I delight to pray for you. We covet your prayers. Betty and I covet your prayers. Remember us when you talk to the Father, would you? Greatly desiring to see thee. And this is so true. I long for that day that we can all be together in the big church of the firstborn. That 3,600 square mile church of the firstborn. Where we can all be together there for a whole 1,000-year Sabbath. Greatly desiring to see thee. Being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. It would be a great joy to be able to hug your necks, every one of you. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Don't you rejoice when you find people that have this genuine faith? They're determined to do what God said, and you know that they know what God said. They have unfeigned faith. They know the difference between a holy and a profane Bible, and they read that King Jesus Version, God promised perfect holy Bible, sprinkled with the blood of the martyrs. They read it every day because they want to know what God said. And that's how you know they have unfeigned faith. Because you can't say that you've got this real genuine faith that's determined to do what God said just because God said so, and not have this hunger for this more sure word of God. And that's how you tell that their faith is genuine. Don't you rejoice when you find people that have that real, genuine, unfeigned faith? It really separates the wheat from the chaff when you know somebody that's read that KJV the way God said to read it, every word in order. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you know they've read every word from Genesis straight through to Revelation 22:21. It's a joyful thing when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Fear not. It is the command of God. That spirit of fear is not what God gives you. He gives you that which will overcome all fear. The fear of God. The knowledge of the word of God. The genuine faith that results from a fullness of determination to do what God said. That fear of God, that knowledge of what God said, overcomes the spirit of fear. God has not given the spirit of fear. What does God give us? God gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everyone receive that. There are things going on in the Antichrist media today which are literally designed to destroy your ability to think. But you have the spirit of truth. You have the spirit of God. A spirit to give you a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You know, sometimes, Biddy, do you feel like a prisoner here? Sometimes we do. But it's a wonderful prison, you know, and I really do think that the Lord sent us to almost put us in a state of solitary confinement that we might hear from him to hammer out things of sound doctrine in a day marked when men will not endure sound doctrine. We're not ashamed of the testimony we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. We delight to go into these gangs of young Muslims and tell them we don't have a problem with Muhammad being Allah's prophet. Allah is just Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the moon god. He was the moon god of Arabia for 1,000 years before Muhammad was born. And the only thing good about Muhammad is what a great criminal psychopath that he was. And my duty is to come to you to try to open your eyes and to turn you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that you might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. You want to hear some more? But there are afflictions as we become partakers of the gospel. Yes, there are afflictions. It's part of the package, brethren, and we should expect it. But every one of them is an opportunity to lay up an eternal weight of glory, and don't forget that. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And when you're given an opportunity to give the gospel to someone who has never heard it, expect to see the manifest power of God. Expect it. We can testify after 7 years. You can expect it. Because our gospel is not to be in word only, brethren, but in demonstration of power. Expect God's power to be manifest. But also expect to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us. Hallelujah. It's hard to hurt a dead man who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is wonderful to think about the fact that we didn't choose God. He picked you and me before he founded the world. And he had your life and my life planned before he created the world. Oh, yeah. You and me, we were created for his glory, for his praise and for his glory. And his power is to be manifested in and through us. It's his power and it's for his glory. But we need to expect it, especially in this time. But is now. You see this? It's now time, brethren. We've come to the fullness of times. It is now time, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Hallelujah. You don't even have to fear death. We don't die. Sure, it's a war. We're in the Antichrist war on the saints, and we don't fight fair at all. No, no, we don't. We don't die. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me will never die. Do you believe this? But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who was manifest in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's truly what he did. He finished Satan. Satan had a big gun, fear of death. He doesn't have that big gun anymore. Get this issue settled. If you don't have it settled yet, get it settled. Disarm him. Make him a toothless dog. You don't die. And if you don't have to fear death, I say you are formidable on the battlefield. Oh, yes. You are very formidable on the battlefield. And this is now time, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is very specific, very exclusive. It is a very definite, singular gospel. The gospel. Very simple, and we'll never plumb the depths of it in fullness. Paul was mastered by the gospel. He never mastered the gospel. Oh yeah, even Paul. Yes, we're mastered by the gospel. We'll study this glorious gospel throughout eternity. And yet it's so simple any child can understand it. Jesus Christ died for sinners and was raised again for our justification. Yeah, you beware of a gospel that's too deep for a child to understand. But by the same token, even Paul never mastered the gospel. He was mastered by the gospel. And we'll study this glorious gospel for all eternity. Wherefore, I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You got part of that too. Yes, you do. You may not be an apostle in the sense that Paul was of those 12. And there's only 12 who will have their names on New Jerusalem. I wouldn't recommend anybody put apostle on their business card. But by the same token, all of us are going in the name of our King, and all of us are ambassadors with a ministry of reconciliation, and we are sent by the King with the authority of the King, and in that sense, all of us are apostles. Some maybe he's called to preach. I think in this time, we're all going to get opportunities. We certainly have all got opportunities to be teachers of the Gentiles, don't we? Because this famine for hearing the word of God is so worldwide, so total, so full. So we're all going to have an opportunity to be a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded about that regarding you. Some of you, I'm persuaded more of that of some of you than I am of me. But I am persuaded, just like Paul was persuaded. And we're going to suffer some things, brethren. Mark it down. Anybody's telling you you don't have to suffer, come to Jesus and have a happy life? No. They didn't tell you the truth. You need to count the cost. It's one thing about Muslims, why they make good Christians. Because they have got to count the cost. That religion says anybody that leaves the Muslim religion of Satan becomes number one target of over 1 billion people religiously duty-bound to kill them. They make good Christians for that reason. But we're going to have to do some suffering. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast. Cleave to him whose name is called the Word of God. Hold fast the form of sound words. You can only get them in that KJV, brethren. You can't get them in any other, even a Hebrew Rudy Tooty Bible. You can't get them there. No, no, no. Hold fast the form of sound words. The words are important, brethren. You need the sound words, the more sure word that God promised to be purified seven times by His Spirit of truth and holiness. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hallelujah. We'll always have the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad about that? We'll always have the Holy Ghost. It is the will of God that we be echad with the Father, echad with the Son, by the same Spirit that made Jesus echad with the Father, and that we be echad with one another by that same Spirit. We'll always have that Spirit. We'll always be able to have the intimacy with God that He has provided us through His Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I say Holy Ghost, sometimes I say Holy Spirit. I mean always exactly the same thing. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of Messiah. No difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. In the Word of God or any place else, anybody wants to make a difference there, you watch out for them. Be careful. They may be wanting to sell you something you don't want to buy. No difference. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Philogelus and Hermogenes. We are supposed to name names, brethren. Where do people get this idea that you don't name names? No, no, no. After someone is duly admonished with the first and second admonition as a heretic, they are to be marked. They are to be named. They are to be marked. How else is anybody going to have a warning to watch out for these deceiving heretics? I don't know where people get this idea, because it's certainly not biblical. We have a duty of love. Now, there's heresy and there's damnable heresy, and we should know what the difference is. But even the simple heretic, after he is duly admonished the first and second admonition, he is to be rejected, and if he continues the subversion of souls. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. Avoid them. How's anybody going to know to avoid them if they're not publicly marked? Yes, we must name the names. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So that's our duty, to mark them publicly, name the names. And we see it all through the Word. And it's not just Paul. John did it. Peter did it. I mean, you've got to do it. It's just common sense, brethren, and it is also verified by the more sure Word of God. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain, But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me, even though I was a criminal in chains. But Onesiphorus sought him out. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. All the seven churches that we read about in the book of Acts were in Asia Minor. They were all in Turkey. Paul founded every one of them, and they all turned away from him when he was imprisoned and finally had his head cut off. But maybe the majority did. But the ones who were truly full of the Holy Ghost were like this Onesiphorus, who sought him out to help him, to comfort him. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is nothing else to say, but this is the way. And we should be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're either in Christ Jesus or we're in Adam. In Adam all die. In Christ all shall be made alive. Stay in Christ Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. That's his name. His name is called the Word of God. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Keep your focus on things that you know are going to make a difference 100 years from now. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Never think the end justifies the means. No. God has ways of doing things. They are to be done decently and in order, according to the way that he instructs us. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Hallelujah. As far as we know, this may bless some of you. It blesses us. As far as we know, these Great Joy and Great Tribulation CDs and Spiritual Warfare Manual CDs are now being used in 116 countries. There are brethren that we know in China, and you know both those CDs have a complete full computer King James Version, KJV, Holy Bible on them. We know brethren in China and in Saudi Arabia, who are going around to every internet cafe that they can get to and get their hands on the computer. They're popping those CDs in there and installing that KJV, Holy Bible on the hard drive. Some of them are installing the whole CDs, both of them, if they can get away with it. And there are people going in these internet cafes because some of the messages are both transcribed and in audio. There are people that are learning English by way of those CDs. The Word of God is not bound. You see it? I mean, behind the Muslim curtain and behind the Iron Curtain, behind the bamboo curtain, the Word of God is not bound. We rejoice in that. And some of you should rejoice in that too. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. It's hard to hurt a dead man. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, and we're supposed to be buried, and the old man is to be put to death in baptism. That's what baptism is all about. If you haven't been baptized, fully put under the water, have somebody baptize you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. That means somebody that has the authority from Jesus to baptize people. Have them put you all the way under that water and make you think you're going to drown. So that you know what it's all about. Baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's what being baptized in Jesus' name means. You've got the authority from Jesus to baptize somebody. There's a lot of crazy people running around nowadays, full of religious demon spirits, thinking they're holier than thou, denying the biblical doctrine of the Trinity, and say, well, you gotta be baptized in Jesus' name, like Acts 2.38. Did you ever hear of Acts 2.38? Well, do you know the central command of Acts 2.38 is repent? Brother, you need to repent. You need to do something about that. Antichrist spirit, the Word of God says, you got in you from denying the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. Well, that's strong, Jim. No, it's just the Word of God. Their brethren in trouble. Okay, they got the right Jesus. They got the Jesus that created heaven and earth as well as died for sinners and rose again. They got the right Jesus there. But if they're denying the biblical doctrine of the Trinity, guess what? They also have a religious antichrist, demon, religious spirit hitchhiker. And they think they're more spiritual than you. But of course, they're so bound by religious spirits, they'll never admit that they think they're more spiritual than you. And they are. They got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I don't doubt that. But they also got an antichrist, demon, religious spirit. You can see it clear in 1 John 2:22. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Yeah, people think I'm an evildoer for telling that kind of truth. I'm sorry. I love my brother. That's why I'll tell him that truth. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Hallelujah. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Count yourself dead. Reckon yourself to be dead in Christ. That's what's up. And alive in the resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what's up. Reckon yourself to be dead in Christ unto sin and the flesh and the world and the devil. For it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You don't think you're going to have to suffer for this gospel? Somebody didn't tell you the full gospel. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Don't you want to reign with him? What suffering is worth enduring to be able to reign with King Jesus, huh? What suffering is too much to endure to be able to reign with King Jesus? Huh? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Charge them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subvert, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study. Brethren, this is a command of God. It's one of the 800 New Testament commandments. Study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My duty as a man of God, if you claim to be a Christian for more than 2 or 3 years and have never read the KJV Holy Bible the way God said to read it, every word in order, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. My duty as a man of God is to try and make you ashamed of calling yourself a Christian and not having done that. How in the world can anybody presume to rightly divide something they've never read in context? If you haven't done it, I hope you hear what I'm saying. You need to do this. This is a command of God. This is not me. This is not my idea. This is a command of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not approved unto me. Not approved unto the other church folk. But approved unto God. Well, how do you do that? How do you rightly divide the word of truth if you've never read it in context? Come on. This is not rocket scientist stuff, brethren. And it is a command of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus and Todd Bentley, and Bob Jones, and Kenneth Copeland, and Benny Hinn. How about that? How about that? And Monty Judah, until he repents. You pray for Monty. He's a brother in trouble. And are the other ones brethren in trouble? I'm not sure they're brethren. I'm not sure. But the duty, nevertheless, is to name names. That's a duty. A biblical love and biblical discipline. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning truth have erred, seeing that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What is the foundation of God? God is God. That's part of it. But the foundation of God is that God cannot lie and God does not change. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. The Lord knows them that are His. Do you know you're one of His? The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you know the difference between sin and iniquity? Very important difference. Heaven will be 100% full of redeemed, repentant sinners. Not one worker of iniquity, so there is a difference. And you ought to know the difference. But in the great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. Get rid of the iniquity. First letter of iniquity is I. Death to self. Death to the old man. New life in Christ, hallelujah. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work by God's empowerment. Flee also youthfulness, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid them. Just avoid them. Don't go there. Knowing that they do gender strifes. Have you seen it very much? Yes, it is. A big if in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, set apart, and fully prepared, good for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work It is a big if. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. You know what's right. If you've read the Word of God, you know what's right and what's wrong. Faith, charity. Faith works by love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't it simple? Peace with all that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. People don't pay attention to the if stop signs. Whenever you see if, it's a very important word. It means there's a condition. You need to find out what the condition is. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Have you seen it? How people come in here and all they really want to do is strive. They got a bunch of foolish questions they want to ask. They could care less about what God said. They've got some agenda of their own that is just foolish. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Bounce them. Don't strive with them. Bounce them. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. You avoid him. You don't have to be obnoxious about it, but find some way just not to be in their way. Foolish questions and unlearned questions, avoid. God's given you enough sense how to avoid them. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. We will earnestly contend. Yes, we will, because we love people. If we know somebody's bound for hell and we don't earnestly contend with them trying to pull them out of that snare of the devil, and we got nothing but hypocrisy all over us, if we don't try to bring them out of it, well, they're not going to hear me anyhow. Well, part of their hell will be remembering how you tried to pull them out of the fire. And you have a duty of love, so do I, and we'll do that duty. But it's not about striving. No, it's not. We don't want to strive. We will earnestly contend for the faith, the faith, very definite article. But we're not going to strive. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. We try and be gentle. On some having compassion, making a difference. But in these last days, brethren, but others save with fear. You can't always use the gentle approach. Sometimes today, so many people have their conscience so seared with a hot iron, you have to save by fire with earnest contending. But still, there is a difference between earnestly contending and striving. We don't strive. Well, we can't say we love these people if we know why they're bound for hell, if we don't try and give them the truth that they need to maybe get turned away from that destiny. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. See, this is the key right here. Look, when people oppose themselves, they're not in the right mind. Nobody in their right mind would oppose themselves. So if somebody is opposing themselves, they're not in their right mind. They don't know they're opposing themselves. And when you go to explain to them how it is that they are opposing themselves, guess what? They're going to come at you. Because they're not in their right mind. And if you're going to have any genuine hope of helping them, you have to go to them in meekness, knowing they're going to insult you. Be prepared to be insulted. Ask God to strengthen you so that you can endure any insult they want to bring at you and not retaliate. Don't retaliate. That's what meekness is all about. The ability to endure insult without retaliating. It works. It works. In the long run, it works. And the meek shall inherit the earth. Seek meekness, brethren. In this day, seek meekness. Maybe God's giving you an advanced PhD degree, a postdoctorate degree in meekness. Thank God if He is. Because meekness is what we need if we expect to endure to the end in this Antichrist war and the saints, brethren. Pray for meekness. Seek meekness. Seek meekness. It may be that you be hid in the day of the Lord's wrath. The meek shall inherit the earth. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This no also is something we need to know, brethren. This know also, that in the last days, you see why we must know this now? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is the purpose of the purpose-driven church. Self-idolatry, yes. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. What is the American culture? It's a culture of covetousness today. And it's not just America. This is a worldwide phenomenon. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What a description of our time. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh, for a windfree, blasphemers, truce breakers, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means without self-control, no self-control, powerless, without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And this is a command of God, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And don't you see that? Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, you want to know about Todd Bentley and the Lakeland, Florida revival? Here it is right here. You want to know about Benny Hinn? Here it is right here. You want to know about so-called word faith movement? Oh, yeah, there's a power there. Here it is, right here. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, Jannes and Jambres, the spirits empowering the magicians in Pharaoh's court, counterfeiting the miracles of God. When Moses threw his stick down, the magicians in Pharaoh's court, empowered by these spirits of Jannes and Jambres, who counterfeit the legitimate works of God, these spirits of Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and these same spirits are being used, infiltrating the Christian church today. Yes, that's what's happening. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. When the judgment of God comes upon this earth, you're going to see the difference between the counterfeit manifestations of Jannes and Jambres empowering some of these so-called ministers and ministries that are nothing but ministries of covetousness, teaching covetousness. You're going to see these ministers of covetousness. You're going to see that their power is nothing. They will finally have to come and say, and everybody following such foolishness will have to say, Pharaoh, this is the hand of God. even those magicians who were empowered by those spirits to do the counterfeit signs and wonders, even they will have to say, we thought that was God's power, but now we see the real power of God. And this is what should happen. When there is a demonic challenge, it's a challenge to the glory of our God. And a spirit should rise up in us which is so much more powerful that it should show the folly of the counterfeit power, giving glory to men, teaching covetousness instead of the true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just look at the difference between the life of the true man of God and these counterfeit ministers of covetousness and deception. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul speaking of himself. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. No mansions, no big cars, no $40,000 toilet seats. Not for Paul, not for a true minister of the gospel. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me say it again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things of which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, listen to this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What scripture do you suppose Paul had in mind when he wrote that? Do you think he was thinking about the letter he was writing to Timothy? No, no. You know better than that. But this letter that he wrote to Timothy is part of all scripture. And if you run into somebody that says otherwise, that says Paul's apostleship was questionable or anything Paul wrote, especially the book of Hebrews, if you find men challenging any scripture, they're heretic. All scripture. This is the word of God, brethren. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not given by men. No, men cannot stop the inspiration and preservation of the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, this is serious, and I charge you, brethren, as you hear this, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. What do we preach? Preach the word. Don't preach anything other than the word. Preach the word. Don't preach the Talmud. Don't preach the Mishnah. Don't preach what Rabbi so-and-so said. Don't preach what Prophet so-and-so said. Don't preach what Benny Hinn said. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Yes, even in a time marked by the reality that men will not endure sound doctrine. If you love them, and if you're genuinely called of God, you'll preach the word, and you'll be instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You better not expect big crowds, and don't think you're going to find the Spirit of God in the big crowds now, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The big crowds are going to have people telling them what they want to hear, and it will not be sound doctrine. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And this is what's happening today in a lot of what the Messianic movement has become. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, the King James Version, the KJV, the King Jesus Version, more sure word of God. They turn away their ears from that. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Find somebody that hasn't heard the gospel before. Yes, there's a world full of people that have never heard the true gospel. All they've ever heard is perversions of the gospel. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is a crown laid up for me of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Oh, it's going to be wonderful when he finally puts this Antichrist war on the saints to an end. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and so many people departing the faith, loving this present world, flocking to the preachers of covetousness. The gain is godliness, message which is so reprobate. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. You know, Luke was still with Paul. And isn't it good to see the reconciliation between John Mark and Paul? It was a big argument, and Paul refused to take Mark on the second missionary journey because Mark on the first journey chickened out and left in fear. So Paul and Barnabas actually split up, and it doubled the outreach of the gospel. It was in the will of God, but you see how people truly in the faith, they do not stay separated. They get reconciled. You see here this reconciliation. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark had grown up. And another thing, Luke was still with Paul. Mark wrote Peter's gospel, which is the gospel of Mark. And Luke, by this time, had written the Gospel of Luke. And what Luke had written in chapter 21 saved the life of the Jerusalem church. And Luke wanted, as a good historian that he wanted to check to make sure that he had everything right. Not that his work was a collaboration, but he just wanted his work confirmed. So he wanted this Gospel of Mark. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books. And the books. He wanted Mark to be sure to bring his gospel and the other books. Maybe he had some of Peter's epistles. Maybe the epistle of James. But you see what he was interested in? The books. But especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Here we see it again. We are supposed to name names. We're supposed to mark heretics. It is a matter and a duty of love. It is part of biblical discipline, brethren. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, the Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now there's a statement of faith. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Salute Prissa and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. The love and the faith that worked by such love. And this is the kind of faith we need, that says with confidence, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, they were going to feed Paul to the lions, but he was delivered from that. And Paul had no fear of death. And when they chopped his head off, he was in the kingdom. And we'll see Paul in that big church of the firstborn coming soon to Mount Zion, 3,600 square miles big, that the Lord will establish on top of Mount Zion at his return. No pre-trib rapture, brethren. Tribulation. 42 months of war with the Antichrist demonic hosts. But the victory is certain. The victory is absolutely certain. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul knew he was probably going to get his head chopped off. And I tell you this, if you have to stick your head in that guillotine rather than take the mark of the beast in your right hand or forehead, take my word for it, you won't even feel the blade. It won't hurt. Count on it. The Lord shall deliver you from every evil work. We need this word. This is a word to really study, this second epistle of Timothy. It's never had a greater application than it does now, in this time today. And every day, until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see this second epistle of Timothy is more meaningful, more applicable, has continuing direction that the Holy Spirit will give to each and every one of us if we'll frequently read this epistle of 2 Timothy in this time, in this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.